If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson. And, well, Matt, we're a few more days closer to the NFL draft. We sit here on a Monday. And happy Eclipse Day.
Happy Eclipse Day. I know some people are having parties and doing stuff. I think I'm probably recording a podcast during the eclipse about as exciting as I'm going to do. You got any big eclipse plans?
No, nothing.
I didn't buy the glasses or do any of that stuff. No. But I guess it's a cool event. Feels like spring out there, though. Nice and warm.
It does.
And yeah, we're getting close
to
draft
time.
Do we
get into the studio and it's chilly?
It seems to be the case. And hot days, the studio's freezing. So there you have it.
Yeah, when it's not hot enough to be freezing in here.
No, it's cold.
So anyways, Matt, again, much closer to the draft here as we roll along here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just was thinking about this over the weekend that all of the Steeler moves to this point that they have made have set them up. Two more draft visitors today.
Okay.
Logan Lee, the defensive tackle out of Iowa.
Yeah, okay.
We brought him up multiple times in our mock drafts.
Yeah,
he's
one interesting.
That's one of the few body types. And then cornerback Max Melton out of Rutgers.
Another guy we've talked about a lot.
All their visits have been defensive linemen, cornerbacks, tackles, or offensive linemen, I should say.
Offensive linemen, I guess, yeah.
And wide receivers.
Wide receivers, yeah. I mean, it doesn't, unless it's the biggest smokescreen ever, I think it's pretty clear what their intentions are in those first four picks, give or take.
You know?
I mean, it seems like it's more tackles than centers, but there have been some offensive linemen across the board. I guess that's no shock. I mean, there's why hide it? I mean, you pretty much know teams do due diligence. I mean, I'm sure the Steelers could tell you, you know, the Raiders' needs off the top of their head and what directions they might be going. You know, maybe you could not bring your favorite tackle or center in just to try to hide those intentions. But I think people have a really good feel more than ever of what teams around the league want to do. You know, that there's not a lot of shocks anymore. I mean, this process goes on so long.
No, and if you think about it, Matt, the last few years, the Steelers haven't really hidden. Like, everybody in the world knew they were drafting Najee Harris.
I was saying Najee was an easy one, right?
I mean, everybody.
Yeah. Everybody knew, yeah.
Last year was a little bit different because they traded up. You know, there was a lot of people, well, they're drafting Joey Porter Jr. Well, they did.
They did, yeah. I mean, they clearly liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just happened to come in, you know, with that first pick in the second round.
I will say when they traded up, when it, you know, came across the screen, there's a trade. I didn't know if it was for Broderick Jones or Gonzalez, who ended up going to the Patriots. I thought both made tons of sense. As soon as it happened, I was like, wow, I'm not sure who that's for, though. You know, so that was, I guess, a bit of a shock. But we also knew before that pick was made, it was going to be a tackle or corner, and their first two picks were tackles and corners.
Yeah.
You know, so it really wasn't that big a shock. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I had to lay chips down right now,
yeah,
what the Steelers are going to draft, what positions? I'm not telling you what players.
Right.
But it's those four positions are going to be addressed.
Right.
Probably when those first four picks, if not the first five picks, somehow, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe there's two receivers. I think there could be a center and a tackle, you know, as opposed to saying broadly two offensive linemen. I don't think they're going to take a pure guard, you know. So I think you're right. I mean, that they see the same needs we've been seeing. The only thing that's a little different is it seems like with the pre-draft visits, they might be stressing true defensive linemen a little more than we have over the last month or two. And the more homework I've done on the D-line, I like it more and more. You know, originally I was like, this isn't very good. This isn't the best year to do it. But there's some day two and even early day three guys that I think are fitting the bill, you know,
so, yeah.
Like the guy they brought in today.
Yeah, I mean, he was a guy that, you know, a three-year starter at Iowa. Tested much better at the combine than I think anybody would have guessed.
So
you can find those
guys. There's something to work with. Yeah. Right. He's not going to second round or anything.
You're looking at a fourth, maybe a fourth round guy there. But they've looked at guys throughout the, if you look at this process and who they've brought in, it's guys at most of the positions who are either going to be, you know, day one, day two, day three guys, except for the tackles, and that's largely been the day one guys.
The day one guys, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a couple of dudes they've brought in or scheduled to that are like sixth, seventh round picks that I think are interesting, you know, that I went and clicked on and did some homework on. But for the most part, the tackles look like round one. The corners absolutely look like day two. The receivers look like a combination of both, I would say. And the centers are kind of somewhere in between. Same with the D linemen. You know, I don't think round one is a D line spot for the team.
No.
But maybe at 51. I mean, I don't think that's insane. Jenkins or a Rohoro or somebody like that. You know, I mean, I think could be in the mix there. And I always go back to two. I mean, if you
even Fisk. I mean, they brought Fisk.
Fisk was one tip of my tongue. I couldn't remember who else was on that list. You know, but you know, maybe you can do all these things in the first 2 days if you trade down a handful of spots in round one. You know, you then maybe get five picks on the first 2 days, and all five of those spots get addressed.
Right, and that's kind of what you. I mean, you want to hit your spots. It's just a matter of what order you happen to do it in.
And it just so happens, and this isn't a coincidence because it was set up through free agency and other moves and trades. I mean, they made a couple trades that happens to be some of the best positions in this draft.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of slot corners. There's a lot of guys that can play slot and outside. Like I said, I'm warming up to the D-line class. I've really warmed up to the center class. It's an amazing tackle draft. It's a great wide receiver draft. So you're fishing in the best waters.
Yeah. And again, these visits aren't done yet.
No.
Depending on some of these things, or some websites put out there, well, you know, they're going to meet with this guy, or they're going
it's
to meet
scheduled
with that guy.
Or not.
You don't know if those are going to take place or not.
No. I mean, these kids are so busy. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of a good example. Maybe someone like Jared Verse or Chop Robinson. I mean, they're not for the Steelers, but they could go anywhere from pick 9 to pick 25. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So how many teams are begging them to come to their building? And they get pulled in a lot of directions. I mean, it's hard to schedule. You're not going to go visit 32 teams if you're a prospect, but 20 might be asking you.
Right.
I mean, can you say yes to all of them?
Especially if you've had something medical.
Exactly. And, hey, you still want to be working out. I mean, you can't just be on the banquet circuit for a month and just not do anything leading up to your rookie year. So just because someone is rumored to be on his way here, I'm sure they've had talks, and maybe, you know, if it's not scheduled, don't count on it being set in stone.
Yeah, unless it's actually happened.
Yeah. They've actually been in the building.
But some of the defensive linemen you mentioned, I mean,
they're pretty thorough about it. I mean, they're the
names. Darius Robinson, Braden Fisk, Mason Smith, Christian Boyd, Logan Lee. I mean, these are guys that
they're not the Geno Atkins types. You know,
outside of Boyd, who I think he had his pro day today.
Did he?
And I think he measured in at like 6, I want to say it was 6'2", 2'3", or 320. These guys,
I always get him mixed up. Who's the Baylor dude? I thought that was Boyd.
No, that's Gabe Hall is the
Hall. Okay. Yeah. That's why I was getting confused there. Okay.
Yeah. I think to me, Boyd's more of a nose.
Yeah.
But outside, I mean, these guys are all big, long defensive end types.
Yeah, 100%. And again, you have Fehoko. You have Benton, you have Adams. You're good at nose.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean you wouldn't
take
the right
move,
price.
You can't move Benton to defensive end.
100%. Yeah. 100%. But you're also not going to play the pure noses 60% of the plays anyway. You know, I mean, you have four defensive linemen on the field.
And really, outside of Robinson, those other guys are all day two or three picks.
Yeah. I don't think you'll get Robinson in the second round. Where the Steelers pick. Maybe he survives.
That's
first,
your problem that your 20 is too high to take Robinson.
For me, it is.
Yeah, for me as well.
Yeah.
And 51, he's not going to last that long.
Yeah. I have mixed feelings about him because this past year, he was much more of an edge stand-up guy than he was a D-tackle. And I think he can do it, but He might be neither. You know, I mean, there's a chance he's neither. It used to be tweeners was a bad word. Now that tweeners has become versatile and, you know, you can line him up all over. And I think that's what he is. But I don't think he's Cam Hayward. You know what I mean? I mean, he's I'm not saying he's T.J. Watt either, but he's a little in between.
You look at the cornerback guys that they've brought in thus far.
Mm-hmm.
That's Nate Wiggins, who would be a first-round guy.
Yeah.
Andre Phillips, M.J. Devonshire, Max Melton. Melton's probably—
Devonshire doesn't exactly count either, though, because he
he's a local.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean they're not interested in it. It's just that he doesn't count against them because he can
but
just walk
in the store. But I think you'd look at Phillips and maybe even Melton and Devonshire for sure. Those guys are slots.
Yeah. And Wiggins kind of surprises me a little bit. I mean, maybe they just really, really like his tape or they have a question about him.
Yeah, there may have been some medical or something weird like that.
Or something on their tape that they weren't sure about that they wanted to get firmed up. But the other guys look like day two slots, you know, I mean,
and
aggressive ones and tough guys, you know. So
to me, like Melton would be a round two guy.
Yeah.
Phillips, when we've done our mock drafts, is probably more of a round three guy.
I would think so. It seems like 51 would be a little early for him. He might be in that somewhere in between 51 and your third rounder, or maybe it takes a fifth round pick to move up a little or, you know, whatever.
But, yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of those dudes, the guy from Boston College, Penn State's got one, Florida State's got two, you know, that are in that neighborhood of would fit the bill for Steelers slot, but also could play outside.
Then you look at the receivers that they have brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, they're slot type guys.
More so. Yeah. They don't look like Pickens. You know?
Yeah. Cause you've had Xavier Leggett. Now he could play outside.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've had Ricky Pearsall, who can play some outside.
Of course, yeah.
But I think he'd be better suited to playing in the slot.
Mm-hmm. He's not a prototypical X.
No. Malachi Corley.
Okay.
Taj Washington, Luke McCaffrey.
McCaffrey's certainly slot-ish.
With Taj Washington's.
Yeah, he is as well.
Yeah.
So, no, that's a good point. I mean, Allen Robinson's gone. I don't see the answer as a true outside receiver, you know, other than Pickens on the roster at the moment, though. I mean, do they have...
I mean, Van Jefferson has done it the most of the other guys, and Austin has been.
Oh, I know
that.
I just don't know if any of them are good enough, frankly. You know, to be on the field.
Well,
in two
I think
receiver
if you get better, let's say you draft one of these guys as your let's say for example that it's Malachi Corley as your slot,
okay,
or Pearsall, either one,
mm-hmm. and they can do some outside stuff. Too,
they can do some outside stuff, but then you could also. Maybe in this formation, you got Van Jefferson out there. Maybe in this, maybe there's other times you want Austin out there to test the
or
boundaries
Watkins
a little bit.
Watkins is a speed guy, too.
Yeah.
Watkins has done a lot of slot, too. People don't think of him as a slot. I think partially because he played with Smith and Brown.
Yeah, he may have played more on the outside with a different team. Yeah.
I just think if the only thing you do at receiver is add one of those names you mentioned and Pickens gets hurt, you're in trouble.
You're in
big, big trouble. So I think the... I did a podcast the other day.
You should have run the ball 50 times.
I think there's going to be some of that, too, and a lot of extra tight ends on the field. But I did a podcast yesterday where I just did all the Steelers' needs versus wants. And to me, like, wide receiver is a need, and a second wide receiver is a want. You know, I mean, like, you can't come out of this draft the way you're constructed right now without a wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, slot corner is a need for me.
I do find it interesting that the offensive lineman, as we mentioned, that you got Fuaga has been in, Amarius Mims has been in. But then you're looking at Travis Glover, who's an interesting
player.
Interesting player, but probably more of a fourth-round guy. Yeah, in that range.
I was about to say, like, some people might think of him and be like, oh, you get him in the sixth or seventh. Like, tackles you don't get in the sixth or seventh.
No.
Yeah, I mean, he might be in the third.
Steven Jones from Oregon, he's kind of a...
I don't know a ton about him.
Guard that's...
Is he center capable and Powers Johnson?
He's played some tackle, too. I think he's guard tackle.
Okay.
But, I mean...
I would think he's a later pick, though.
Yeah, those are the guys that they've brought in thus far.
Mm-hmm.
We
don't know
Matt
who they
Gonclave
met with.
From, yeah.
Don't know who they met with at the Combine, but those are a lot of, but they're only 15 minutes.
I mean, we know they're at the Alabama Pro Day.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're at the Michigan Pro Day. They were at Georgia's Pro Day.
Mm-hmm.
They were at Clemson's Pro Day.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're going to draft the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, that's just they go to where the most guys, where they can get their eyes on the most guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I'm looking here at one site here, Pro Day trackers based on school visits that include meetings with prospects from Mike Tomlin or Omar Khan. So their Steelers Pro Day tracker, and the first guy on there listed is J.J. McCarthy and then Blake Corum. I guarantee you they weren't there to see J.J. McCarthy
right.
Blake Corum.
The one thing I read, too, is you know how they're kind of known for taking guys out to dinner?
Yeah.
Well, I guess at Bama they took out the two corners and Turner. Well, they're not really there for Turner. know what I mean? And Bama you're going to be at no matter what. There's probably Latham was probably there, too, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
And sometimes
some of this information I don't 100% always trust either.
Just knowing what they've done in the past, sometimes they'll take everybody out. Like, hey, we're taking you guys. We want to because they want to see how these seven players interact with each other.
Yep.
Like I know for I talked to somebody who was there at the dinner that they had dinner last year at Iowa.
Yeah.
And
they had a handful of prospects.
They had a handful of prospects. They took
LaPorta
them out
and Campbell. Right.
And what I was told was that Campbell, like everybody, if they were ordering appetizers, well, Jack, what do you want to get?
Yeah.
Everybody deferred to Campbell on every decision.
As the defense did on the field. And
so you learn some things by that. He's like the alpha.
He's the guy that, and I think they were interested in Campbell. I mean, they wanted Broderick Jones more, obviously, but Campbell went in the middle first round. But I think that was a guy they liked, and that was probably a huge reason why.
Yeah,
I mean,
you see that alpha.
Addition, right?
Now they've got their alpha.
Yeah.
You know, now they don't need that. Mm-hmm. But they,
Find a lot of how these kids interact with one another, too.
Yeah.
Especially in a situation like that.
So, you know, that's why some of those dinners, that you may see some guys at some of those dinners that aren't, well, why would they take that guy to dinner? Well, that's why.
Yeah. Just like Dallas Turner. I mean, Dallas Turner's not going to be a Steeler this go-round. He might be 5 years from now when his contract's up, who knows? But I'm sure they're not going to tell him he can't come. But
It was the same thing, for example, when the Steelers were down at Florida's workout when Pouncey was coming out. And those guys all, like everybody on that team, deferred to Marquise. Okay, what drill are we doing next? Oh, Marquise is,
Yeah, and what did Coach say something about how he's great with the sinners and the saints.
Yeah.
I mean, there was Tebow.
He's
and
leading
Hernandez.
Tebow through. Yeah. He's leading all those guys through the drills.
Interesting array of
dynamic.
Players. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Hernandez and Tebow and, you know, and he's playing offense with next one, man. His twin brother's right there with him too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting group. So good stuff. That doesn't mean, I mean, it certainly implies that someone off that list will be a Steeler or a first round pick, but it doesn't have to be, you know, like did Fuaga or Latham? I think Fuaga's been here. Latham hasn't.
But they were at the Alabama Pro Day.
But they're at the Alabama Pro Day, right. Or Fashanu, or I mean, some other Powers Johnson. I don't think he listed, you know. But doesn't mean he won't be a Steeler. Or Zach Frazier, they probably know a ton about, you know. I mean, there's people not on the list. They're still are in the mix.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these things aren't done yet.
True.
You know, they'll still be. I don't even know how many names are on the list there, but they get 30 of them, and that doesn't include your locals.
Yeah.
And for
so
example,
the Pitt guys didn't
the
count.
Pitt guys didn't count. I know Zach Frazier doesn't count.
Oh, is he close enough? I was
yeah.
curious about that. I was going to throw that out a second ago, and I wasn't sure because where he grew up.
And I think West Virginia.
West Virginia
is counted as a
as
a local, but he's from Fairmont, which is just south of West of Morgantown.
Like, so he's it might be 100 miles or something.
Something like
that. There's some radius that's the rules.
Well, he falls within that. You know,
nice. So I mean, I'm sure they'll have him in.
Fairmont's essentially a suburb of Morgantown.
Oh, is it? Okay. I knew it was in the area, but I didn't know how close it was. So he's close, yeah.
Yeah, real close. So let's get to our first break here. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
And we're back. He's Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. And this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. And Matt, Bill Barnwell has put out a list for all 32 teams. What they should do in the first round of the draft. And by that, by what they should do, I mean, should they stick and pick? Should they try to trade up? Should they try to move back?
Yeah, I clicked on it and just scrolled to the Steelers, and then I was on my way here, so I didn't read the whole thing. But I am interested. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go through it.
Yeah. He says that the Bears at one should stay put.
Then they're good.
Right. Same with the Commanders at two.
Yeah, I mentioned I was listening to the ESPN podcast on the way here with Kuiper and Field Yates. They both said McCarthy at two is in play. I'm like, wow.
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, I keep hearing this. You hear it over and over, and they kept citing Matt Miller, who's also an ESPN draft nick, does good work, that he's really on board that McCarthy's going to be a commander.
I heard that McCarthy's pro day was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. He really threw the ball well. Everybody likes his command of the he's a winner.
There's two things, too, about him on the field that I didn't realize till recently is – he played it under 200 pounds, and now he's like 215 to 220, and he's held it on. And I guess he had a pretty bad ankle injury for much of the season, too. Like, his test numbers and things like that are much better than his recent tape because he wasn't playing healthy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's playing hurt, and I mean, coaches love that stuff, too.
At three, he has the Patriots, and he says that they should stay put. I disagree, and I know you do, too.
Yeah, I think that's just too rough an environment. I mean, I would never frown on a team, and I'd always understand if you can add a franchise quarterback, add him, no matter what, even if it's me and you blocking for him. But, man, I think that's a rough environment, and it would worry me more for May because May just dealt with that in North Carolina and had a rough season because of it.
I think you like him way more than I do.
I think so, too. He's my number two easily.
I have him at three, and it was close between him and McCarthy.
Yeah.
There's talent there. But I think he's the kind of player that he either hits. I think he may have the highest upside of the quarterbacks in this draft, but I think he might have the lowest floor too.
I definitely could see a Sam Darnold.
The top guys,
Oh, I know. Yeah. No, I hear you. That's
he's
kind
the kind of guy
I like
that
could
get you fired.
Yes. Now, any of those dudes, just with New England, at least Jacoby Brissett's there, and he's more than just a veteran stopgap, in my opinion. I mean, he's a strong pro that can handle the arrows. But you know, once you're 0-4, whoever this poor dude at three is going to get thrown in there with nobody to throw to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather take Marvin Harrison, maybe, if I were them.
Yeah, I could see. I could see it.
There's a bunch of linemen.
For example, like Josh Allen when he was at Wyoming.
Yeah.
The year before at Wyoming, he had a bunch of guys. There were like five guys off of his offense that were drafted.
Yeah.
He had guys around him.
Sam Howell's another example. Like
his
that.
Senior year, he didn't.
Right.
And he was still very good.
Yes.
Whereas May, when he had the guys around him,
right.
he was great, good,
right.
everything's fantastic. Last year, when he didn't have as many guys around him, he was bad.
Took a step backwards.
Yeah.
Without question. I mean, Caleb Williams did a little bit. He lost Jordan Addison, and, you know, he wasn't as good as past year. I mean, he won the Heisman the year before. He was best player in the country. So he had nowhere to go but down. But, no, I hear you.
At four, he says that the Cardinals should trade down.
I always thought that. But it sounds like most of the trade-down candidates, and I bring up the Vikings more than anybody, gets you out of Adunze, Neighbors, or Harrison.
Well, unless the Giants want to come up.
Then I'm in.
I mean,
if I can still get one of those three receivers for Kyler – I don't want to go far from them. If I'm the Patriots, I'll go far and just draft linemen left and right and receivers on day two. And, you know, but if I'm the Cardinals, it's time to start getting Pro Bowlers. You know what I mean?
Well, I think in this draft, though, you could get Pro Bowlers by moving down a little bit.
I do, too. I just would, as bad as their wideouts are, I already have the quarterback. I want one of those three wideouts if I'm them.
At five, he says the Chargers should trade down.
I 100% agree with that.
They have junk.
Yeah. It's funny because...
But you could make the argument that they should stay there and take one of the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, their receivers are as bad as the Cardinals. I mean,
it might be the worst group of receivers in the league.
And Herbert needs... They have the quarterback in place, too. They don't have a lot of extra picks. Total coincidence is I was a guest on Locked On Chargers yesterday, and so I studied their depth chart as we went through it. It's worse than I thought. I mean, their tackles are horrible.
Yeah.
The linebackers are bad.
They couldn't stop the run last year.
Exactly. Yeah. Their host thought that second corner was amongst their highest needs, and I hadn't even given that a ton of thought. But their defensive tackles are horrendous. Right tackle, right guard, and center aren't great. I mean, they're definitely a center team because they think Lindsey's going to retire with his heart situation. And as you mentioned, their wideouts are as bad as any in the league.
Yeah.
I mean I don't know. New coach. I think I would trade down and try to get 3, 4, 5 starters out of this, hopefully, as opposed to one big dog. But,
I mean, but they couldn't afford to spend anything in free agency.
Right. You couldn't fill little gaps in free agency.
At six, the Giants, what they should do, trade down, stay put, or trade up? Thanks, Bill. Really narrowed that down for us.
So, to me, they have to emerge with one of the receivers or one of the quarterbacks. And at six, you'll get one of them.
Yeah.
But if you're set on getting a quarterback, that's a real game of chicken if you're them. You know, if someone trades right in front of you at five, you're doomed. Yeah. I mean, if you feel like I have to do that.
But then you're going to get one of the wide receivers.
Then you get one of the wide receivers. But right. If they can't stand Daniel Jones, if he has to go and, you know, he's going to be a contract, you know, guy, I could see why they would want to do that. I don't think they have a second-round pick, though, because of the Burns trade.
Because of the Burns trade, yeah.
Because that would be great to get Nix, Penix,
so a trade, Worthy, a trade up for them would include
probably next year's,
first, you know, for sure. And
even to go two spots?
Yeah.
Be something.
Yuck.
I mean, yeah, right. I mean, it could really cripple you.
Yeah.
I think they're in a bit of a bind. I probably would just stick and pick a receiver.
I would, too.
You know, and just live with it, yeah.
Seven for the Titans, and I disagree with this one. He said they should trade up. Why would the Titans trade up?
I think they're in the ideal spot.
Yeah. You want an offensive lineman. That's what they want.
Yeah.
You're going to get one.
I mean, everyone on the planet's mocked all of them.
You might get the first.
Yeah.
First one off the board.
I've actually considered them more for a trade down.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you could get Fuaga at 12 and a defensive back in the mix, too. I mean, their defense needs a lot of work. I mean, I think the offense now, after signing Ridley and the moves they've made, it's all O-line on offense.
Yeah.
Where the defense needs a lot that's not named Simmons. You know, so, hey, you have a great O-line coach. You don't have to give him the best offensive lineman in the draft. Coach him up.
At eight.
Give him Mims or, you know, someone that's a project.
The Falcons should trade down.
I think so, too.
Said, but not too far down.
I don't want to be the first team taking a defensive player. And I think where they're at, they would be. And I think there's a really good chance Adunze or somebody highly attractive would be sitting there for them.
Yeah.
Somebody to make them offers.
At nine, what the Bears should do. With the ninth pick, the Bears, he says, should trade down.
I would be very open to trading down unless
they're missing picks
there.
In the middle. Like, they could use
those second or thirds.
Picks.
Yeah. But they do the first overall, so they have two really high picks, of course. Right. If Dunze was there, I would jump on him. Otherwise, I'd be listening to offers.
I don't know if they need a Dunze.
I don't think they do either. But I,
like,
I think
they're the easy trade down.
Yeah. I mean, think about them. If you could trade down five spots, you could even take a Fatanu, put him at guard, and make him be Zach Martin, or he could be your right tackle. You take anything on the defensive
or
line.
They could trade down to, like, in that 13, 14, 15 range and go defensive end or edge.
Yeah, exactly. And someone on the D front would make a lot of sense for them. No, and Dunze to me would just be too good to pass up if I were them, but they don't need him.
They don't need him, yeah. And, again, you're the Bears. You don't throw the ball that much. I don't care who the quarterback is.
They have in their history.
Yeah, because of where you play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
The wind is always blowing 40 miles an hour there.
Field soft.
Even in the summer, yeah. At 10, what the Jets should do. Trade up.
Ooh. For, like, a Dunze? Or Alt?
I don't know why they would trade up. Yeah.
I was giving this some thought, too. Like, everyone's mocking Bowers there, and I think that's great. But I wonder about Fatanu. I mean, because he could be your guard this year, and then one of your old guys moves on, you move him to tackle.
I don't think they're worried about next year.
I don't think they're worried about next year either. I mean,
you got a 40-year-old quarterback and a bunch of old offense. Like, everybody that they've signed is basically on their last legs.
Yes. I mean,
I think you do everything you can to make Aaron Rodgers' job as easy as possible.
I think that's Bowers.
Yeah.
I mean, of the options. And I wouldn't trade up for Bowers. I'm not trading up for a tight end.
No. You know. At 11, the Vikings should trade up.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, tall quarterback there.
I mean, they could stick and pick a quarterback.
It's possible.
They have more needs than just quarterback.
Yeah. If you loved Penix or Nix, you could probably get him with their second first rounder. Or take him.
Just take him.
Right.
Yeah, just take him.
I don't know if they do or not, but they're obviously the trade-up favorite.
The Broncos, what they should do, trade down.
I think so, too.
I think they just need players.
I think they need everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they need cap space. They need players. I mean, again, I think I'd rather be the GM of any team.
I mean, they gave up all those picks for Russell Wilson, and he's not even on your roster, and you're paying him.
And you're paying him. And even, like, Garrett Bowles is up after the year. I mean, you need everything.
Garrett Bowles is old. He's 32.
Yeah, he came in league old, too. Right. So, I mean, are you going to invest in that guy? I mean, like, you need everything. Trade down.
At 13, what the Raiders should do, trade down.
I lean that way, but sticking and picking a right tackle for them wouldn't be terrible either.
Yeah.
I mean, Latham or Fuaga.
But they could use a lot.
They could use
a lot.
I mean,
they could trade down and take a corner.
Yeah.
They could trade down.
Everything on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
Get one of the defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm. And a quarterback.
13's too high for that. Well, they can get the quarter. Maybe they take a Penix or mm-hmm. Nix in the second, you know, in round two.
Those two teams I could see being the Levis-type team at the making a move to get to the first pick in the second round.
Which you – would like to have some additional picks to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah,
At 14, what the Saints should do, trade up.
They always do, and it always hurts them.
They've been a bad drafting team.
They're such a weird organization. They're too aggressive, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, they live for today. That's fine with Drew Brees. That's not fine with Carr. You know, pushing all your chips in. They trade up for Penning. I mean, he doesn't even play for him anymore. I mean, like, that's... Yeah, like Olave's worked out, and some of them have, but they've been so aggressive. I think I would take a step back and either take the right tackle there or give me a bunch of picks.
At 15, what the Colts should do is trade down.
I always have a hard time giving them a perfect fit. Like, Mitchell's a nice spot there. Brian Thomas, you know, I mean, there's some guys that make sense, but there's no one that's like, wow, if he's there, it's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
I mean, even Bowers, it's okay. They don't use a tight end much.
At 16, the Seahawks should trade down.
He hasn't made one sitting still.
No.
I mean, Seattle, to me, I think there's like four names that are really good for them. Is the two defensive tackles, but more likely is Fatanu or Powers Johnson. Or maybe even Barfield.
I you know,
and maybe you could go to five spots and have one of those fall in your lap still.
To me, a cornerback would make a lot of sense here as well.
They drafted Witherspoon the first round.
Okay,
they
got like, one, but you need more than one, especially
like
in that division.
They like the tall kid, though. I mean, the year before.
In that
it's
division?
Not awful, but I think they have plenty of needs. Don't get me wrong.
I want to have guys that can – you got to catch the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you're trying to catch. You got to catch the Rams. That's who you're trying to catch.
Yeah.
You need more than two cornerbacks to do that.
Agreed. I also think quarterback should be something
it should
you consider.
Be. It
you
should
mean,
be.
Maybe it's Spencer Rattler. I mean, maybe it's not one of the top guys.
Right.
But I'm not saying round one, but you
I just think
consider.
I think cornerback's a sneaky need for them.
The other thing, I mean, just as a whole is – the defensive scheme is changing so drastically. I mean, it's going from old school Pete Carroll to the Ravens.
Right.
They didn't fix it all in free agency.
No, they did not.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to have to get some more Ravens-like defensive players.
And that's why.
And corner's one of those
that's
things.
Another
yeah.
reason why I mentioned cornerback yeah. is a sneaky need for them because that's been the Ravens' MO. We're going to be really good on the back end and cover because we're going to blitz like crazy to get to the quarterback.
You know, like they got rid of both their safeties because. Well, Ravens ask a lot of different things out of their safeties.
Right.
They didn't think the old dudes could do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, secondary is definitely something there that I think.
I think they have a lot of needs.
Yeah.
I mean, not running back, not receiver. After that, I think there's a lot of directions they could go.
At 17, he thinks the Jaguars should trade up.
I don't know I'm on board with that. I mean, if it's trading up to get a Dunze at 10.
That would be, could be, right that'd now, here's be their, interesting. Here's their, after everything that's happened this offseason, they've got Gabe Davis.
Oh, that's bad.
Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, and Evan Engram. That's it. That's who they're throwing to.
I know. And they're expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's another poorly run organization. You'd love a first-round rookie in that mix.
Yeah.
Zay Jones could get cut. I mean,
you need to get cheaper at the wide receiver position because Trevor Lawrence's contract is going to get expensive here pretty quick.
Exactly. And if you stick and pick, would you consider Thomas that early for them?
Yeah.
I would too.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have to be a star right now, but by year two,
he
should be my
be.
Best receiver.
Yeah, he better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because year two, you're paying Lawrence. That's...
You probably moved on from Zay.
Yeah.
You know. You know they're going to cut Gabe Davis in 2 years, same with everyone else they signed this offseason.
Just on
it's what they do.
Principle.
Yeah. Yep.
At 18, the Bengals, what they should do, trade down.
I tend to agree. What do you think of this from the Bengals? If we were doing Bengals radio right now, I think my targets would be those two defensive tackles, Newton and Murphy, or Mitchell and Thomas. And they might all be there.
Yeah.
And so if I move down four, five, six spots, you'll probably get
Mitchell,
one of them.
I don't think Mitchell will be there.
Donnie Mitchell?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking the two big receivers that could replace Higgins and two defensive tackles. I think they all could be there. Three probably will be.
That's too early for me for
and me too. Mitchell. That's why trading down makes sense, except they don't ever trade.
They never trade.
They never trade.
Ever.
Which is bonkers.
Yeah. They should trade T. Higgins and see what if they can get a
like if I were the Patriots, I'll give you a second round pick for T. Higgins.
Which is an early second round
pick. Right. Yeah. Or maybe next year's second or whatever, which is also an early second round.
At 19, what the Rams should do, trade down.
Okay. Again, those two defensive tackles are probably really interesting to them.
Have to be.
Some of the edge guys would be interesting, but it doesn't have to be Latu or Verse. I think it's going to be a defense in a corner.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a lot of defense from that team.
Yeah. At 20, what the Steelers should do is trade down.
I tend to agree.
I don't disagree with that, but he says that there are five starters on the defensive side of the ball who will be on the wrong side of 30 by the end of next season.
Yeah, I
don't know how
too.
He's getting five starters. All right, Hayward.
Right.
Ogunjobi.
Okay. Is TJ over 30 at that point? I don't think.
I don't think he is.
It's not Queen. It's not Holcomb. It's not Porter or Benton. It's not Highsmith. We're getting to 11 here pretty quick.
Yeah, I don't know where he's getting five.
It's not Jackson that they traded for. He's not close to 30 yet.
He might be.
I think it's 28.
Yeah, he's 28. I don't.
Minka's not 30 yet, is he?
No.
And Elliott isn't.
No. Yeah, I don't know how he's getting 30.
Right.
I don't know how he's getting five guys that are 30.
I mean, like Patrick Peterson's not a starter anymore.
Right. He's not even on the team.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the oldest defense in the league on snap-weighted age. But part of that's because Peterson played the most snaps of any of them, and he's not back. You know?
I mean, maybe he's still considering one of the linebackers.
I don't know. I mean, it's not Killebrew. I mean, I'm trying to think who's on defense that's over 30 that would even be considered a starter.
Landon Roberts would be 30, but I don't know that he's necessarily going to be a starter.
I guess you'd maybe consider him a starter. Okay, but still. I mean, I'm not going to fight him that getting younger on defense.
Oh, it's not a bad idea. Yeah, right.
Should be a priority. I mean, there's no question about that.
Because younger also helps get you cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they correlate with one another. I just think that there's going to be more than – we talk about this all the time. I mean, I think there'll be a lot of options at 20 that trading down wouldn't be terrible.
At 21, what Miami should do, trade down.
I would too.
He's got everybody trading down.
Yeah. Who's moving up?
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody's going to have to want to move up to get to these spots. Well, at 22, he has the Eagles should want to move up.
Maybe for a corner.
Maybe.
Yeah. See one of the top corners.
At 23, what Minnesota should do?
Trade up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking.
They might have to trade both of those picks to go up where they get to the quarterback. At 24, he has the Cowboys should stay put. How about that?
Well,
that's why I think that maybe.
I'm fine with that. There's probably an O-lineman there, Barton or Power Johnson.
That's like the second team outside of the top five that he has staying put.
Yeah, I'd say I'd have more stay puts. Guyton, Mims.
At 25, Green Bay should stay put or make a slight trade up.
For who? Maybe one of the corners. Maybe DeGene. Barton. Probably one of them will be there, though.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
At 26, Tampa Bay should trade up.
I don't know about that. I mean, for one of the D linemen, for one of the corners?
Probably a corner, yeah.
Would you consider like an A.D. Mitchell for them?
I don't think they need him.
I mean, Evans and Godwin aren't young. But
they aren't young, but they're expensive. And they just drafted the kid from Nebraska last year, Palmer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, their needs aren't massive, but there's a lot of directions they could go.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't think they're one player away to trade up.
No.
You know, right.
At 27, the Cardinals should stay put unless they trade down at number 4.
Yeah, trade down, trade up move.
Yeah.
That adds up.
At 28, the Bills should trade down.
Everyone on the planet thinks they're trading up.
They're trading up.
For one of those two probably big receivers would be one of the... I mean, it's not like they don't have other needs in receiver, but I would think they're going to be working the phones heavy for Mitchell or Thomas.
Yeah. At 29, Detroit should stay put.
There's plenty to pick from. There'll be a corner there they like that can play, or a D lineman.
At 30, Baltimore should trade up.
I don't know. Ooh, I wouldn't want to give up a lot of picks from them.
No, I wouldn't either.
They get a lot of holes needs. Right now, right?
At 31, San Francisco should trade up.
I've heard a lot of that. For one of the tackles, possibly. You know, the high pedigree guy. Maybe.
And at 32, the Kansas City Chiefs should trade up.
One of the tackles would make sense. I know people are still going to link receiver to them, and that makes some sense as well. I mean, Marquise Brown's on a one-year deal. I am kind of excited about the idea of trading up for Bowers, but that would be a major trade.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
next
see
year's
them.
First.
Yeah,
I mean,
they'd have to give up multiple picks, like four or five picks to get
exactly,
up
exactly, exactly.
Like you're trading up for a quarterback.
They got an extra pick for Snead, but I mean, you can give up two firsts for a tight end? Probably not.
Probably not. Right. Yeah. So that's Bill Barnwell's list to get everybody on the move in this year's draft.
A lot of trade downs,
which, and they can't all possibly trade. That's why when we do our mock drafts, it gets a little unrealistic.
Sure.
Because you're just constantly trading, or you're constantly getting offers, and that's not the real world.
It's not the real world. I mean, maybe more. I've never been in sitting there answering the phones, but I would think in round one you're going to get more calls than you are in the fifth round too, of course. And a lot of it's just... You know, GMs are talking now. Like, hey, we'd be interested. There's one guy we're looking at 20, but if he's not there, we're open for business. You know, and teams would know that. You know, they don't might not tell them who that guy is, but you know.
Let's get to another break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Steeler fans, you can gear up with the latest sideline apparel, hats, or jerseys of your favorite players, authentic memorabilia, custom items, and exclusives you can only find directly from the team at one of the official Steelers Pro Shops. They're located at Acrisure Stadium, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or you can visit online at shop.steelers.com. And Matt, a guy who in college got to wear a Steelers-type uniform was Cooper DeJean.
Ah, yeah. Today's the day for him, huh?
Today was his day. He had his
long
workout
awaited.
We've been waiting to see. Measured in at 6'5".
Okay. It's about what we thought, yeah.
Yeah. 202 pounds.
I'd say, is he over 200? He has a sturdy-looking build. Yeah.
9 3/4-inch hands, so
big hands,
decent-sized hands there. 31 1/8-inch arms, 78-inch wingspan, though.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think his chest is pretty broad.
Yeah,
kind of right.
His 40, this according to Jim Nagy, who
he's a senior
runs
guy.
A senior bowl.
Yeah.
Was between 4.42 and 4.45.
Great.
Which
that
is
size,
plenty fast
that's,
enough.
That's fine, right. Coming off an injury, too? I mean, right.
His 10-yard split was between 1.52 and 1.55.
Okay. I don't think that's his specialty, but, you know.
But that'll
fine.
Play.
Right.
That'll
There's
play.
No problem with that.
Vertical jump, 38.5 inches.
Very good.
And it's his broad jump was 10.4.
I'd say over 10 for someone that big.
Yeah. I mean, he was a state long jump champion.
Yeah.
100-meter champion. It's Iowa, but still.
I think he checked all the boxes, but didn't blow your doors off.
Didn't
I mean,
do any shuttles or anything like that.
Okay.
That's probably still the change
of
directions.
That's also not his best stuff either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's probably smart not to. You don't have to. So all the pro days are done. You know, I mean, there's a couple of these type of things. Like Johnny Newton is not – it's Johnny now, right?
I believe
yeah,
so,
I think
yeah.
so, yeah. Jerzon is – what are you?
Jerzon,
yeah, sorry. Also has not worked out. I don't think Latham's going to. I don't think Harrison's going to. But there might be here and there one of these single type workouts, but most of that stuff's in the books. But I think DeJean's still in the mix for number one corner. I mean, depending what you're doing.
Mike Pursuit of talking, we're talking about that today. We filmed another one of our mock drafts for Steelers.com, and he said he's gonna put DeJean on his safety list, which he can play safety, he can do that. He's done it. He did it at Iowa.
Yeah,
but I don't want to waste that talent.
No.
I mean, he's kind of Minka Fitzpatrick. Like, you could play him at corner. You could play him at safety.
Yeah, it's sort of the beauty of him.
Yeah, he can play in the slot.
Doesn't mean he wouldn't play safety if you drafted him as a corner, of course.
Right.
It's, for our purposes, I'm not picking on Mike, but it makes things a lot easier. It's heck of a lot easier. It's cheating. Because he's easily number one safety. And then you don't have to come up with four other names, which was not easy at safety to rank. And you only have to come up with a fifth corner, which is easy. I mean, there's tons of those dudes to pick from. To me, him and Fatanu are the same way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I want to draft him at the more difficult and scarcer position, but I can fall back on this guy maybe being a Pro Bowl guard or safety. You know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That ain't so bad. You know, right.
No, he's
right.
gonna play somewhere. Yeah. The speed will play on the outside.
Yeah, right. I mean, if the Steelers drafted him, DeJean, I don't know if he would beat out Jackson from day one as in your two-corner package.
But he'd be my nickel.
But he'd be your slot all day long.
Yeah.
And he'd probably play 70% of the snaps, you know, as a rookie, if not 100, if he's one of your best 11 easily, which he could be, which isn't a knock on Jackson. Or let's say you draft Fatanu. You put him at right tackle, and if he struggles and you can't re-sign or don't want to re-sign James Daniels next year, maybe you draft another tackle and say, hey, Troy, you're moving into guard. You know?
Yeah.
So, to me, that's kind of a nice umbrella for these guys.
Yeah. I don't feel the same way about, like, Darius Robinson. I think, to me, Darius Robinson's a defensive end in this
for the Steelers,
in this defense.
Yeah.
Whereas some teams may look at him, you know, say, well, he can play end or tackle in our 4-3 defense.
Yeah. For the Steelers, he's never going to go to T.J. Watt's room.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
That's not going to happen, you know.
Yeah. I mean, body type-wise, he does kind of look like T.J. Watt. I mean, he is sculpted.
Huge hands, long
but
arms.
But he's a defensive end all day long in this defense.
Yeah, he's in the same position room as Adams and Benton, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely different than those guys, but that's where he's going every day to work.
Yeah, there's some of those kind of unicorns like that in this draft that, okay, I can do some different things with these guys.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't look at it as much of a benefit with Robinson as I do those other two.
Yeah.
You know, without question.
Yeah. We've
been waiting on DeJean.
I think he's solidified himself. I think he'll go somewhere in the first round.
I think so, too.
Has to.
I mean, I really, really lean towards tackle at 20. But if he was a Steelers pick, I'd be like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the defensive players. I would be like, okay. Now I'm like done on defense.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have six more picks on offense, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is now out of the way. So,
it's a good little tidbit.
Good news there. Also, Tavondre Sweat, the big defensive tackle out of Texas, got himself in a little bit of trouble over the weekend with a DWI.
Yeah. Bad timing. I mean, I know these
There's
kids
never
are,
a good time.
No, of course. I mean, but it's not the Jalen Carter situation, but it always happens this time of year where there's a couple, hopefully no more, that publicly get themselves in trouble doing something that they shouldn't. You know, I mean, hey, they're young men. They're immature. They got a lot of world at their fingertips. They have a lot of opportunities. But, man, I mean, you almost need to be in bubble wrap for these couple months.
Yeah, you don't want to get in any kind of trouble like this.
Right.
I mean, it's going to cost you money.
Yeah. I mean,
more so than just what the DWI cost John Q. Public.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to cost you some serious money.
Yeah. And maybe the thing is, and this is not pointed at Sweat because I don't know the answer to this, but I've been in those rooms. There's 100 players in this draft where there's a lot of concerns about. Concerns.
Yeah.
You know, like he's immature or he may have an issue with alcohol or he's been in barroom fights people don't know about, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
He had shoplifting when he was 16. I don't know if I can trust him, whatever it is. And then, you know, if you're wishy-washy on a player as a person, and then he does this now, well, what direction are you going to go?
No doubt.
Obviously, right. I mean, it might be the opposite. This guy's a pillar of the earth. I wish he'd marry my daughter. He should be team captain. He screwed up once. I understand. We'll call his agent. We'll talk it through. What happened? How bad was it? Not that it's ever good. But if there was already issues, it's going to really hurt you.
Yeah. It's just really another strike against you.
Yeah.
Like
there were a lot of Jalen Carter concerns before he got in trouble.
Right.
You know, I mean, he was, you had to manage him throughout the week and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, one more thing that a guy whose draft stock, quite frankly, had been moving down.
I think. I dropped him out of my top five defensive tackles this week. Just, yeah. I don't know how many snaps he can play for me.
That's the problem. I mean, you know, with taking one of those nose tackle types.
Yeah. I mean, the defensive players are getting faster and smaller, and he isn't. I mean, if he, what was he, 366, I think, at the combine and at his pro day. So that's probably him in his best shape.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going to show up at 345. He might show up at 375. Now we got a problem.
Now you got an issue.
We got a real problem. Like, I don't think he's going to get smaller. Yeah, that was my concern with him.
Is it an issue for you, Latham, not working out at all?
A little. I mean, he's a little. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's not with Marvin Harrison. I mean, I can watch the tape and see him run. And, you know, and frankly, do I care what Latham runs a 40 in? No.
But I'd like to see him do some position drills.
I'd like him to see, do something.
Yeah.
Did he even bench? I mean, you would think that would be an easy one for him. I mean, I'm sure
he may not bench well. He's long arms, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's not. As I was about to say, he's not built well to work out. I mean, his change of direction stuff's not going to be great.
If you think back,
his jumps will be bad.
I mean, hey, and we were part of this. Everybody making fun of Orlando Brown Jr.
Mm-hmm.
in his workout. What did he run, like a 6?
It was horrible. Right.
I mean, it was one of the worst workouts in combine history.
Yeah.
Hasn't seemed to affect him as a player. He's not.
No.
I think he's overrated as a player, but he's an NFL starter.
Yeah. I mean, he was a third-round pick, and that was a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, he clearly has been a hit. He's made a fortune since then. Again, I don't think he's worth the contract he's making, but he's one of the best 20 tackles on the planet or 30 tackles on the planet.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Latham thing might help the Steelers.
If it causes him to fall to 20,
right.
Fine.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
And his agent and his camp would know. You know, why put negative stuff out there? We'll leave it. I mean, Najee didn't run a 40.
Right.
You know, he's not the fastest guy in the planet.
Lamar Jackson didn't run a 40.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
So
he probably should. Well, everyone knew he was fast.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for me, Latham, you know, in some ways you can look at, okay, what are you trying to hide here?
Exactly.
We all know that you're not going to run well.
Right. I mean, is it going to be a 5.5? Is it going to be a 20-inch vertical?
Yeah.
Then you're like, I don't know if I could take him a 20. I mean, if it's really bad. But, man, I think it might hurt his stock in a draft that's so loaded at tackles.
Right.
Maybe he loses tiebreakers to Fawaga or Shanu or whoever, Fatanu, you know, one of the other F names. But would I hesitate to draft him? Not in the slightest.
No.
Unless there's something behind the scenes that I didn't know, you know.
Tape's good.
Yeah, tape's great.
So let's get to another break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. That's going to do it for hour number one of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back with hour number two right after this.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.